Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And he has ascended to the right hand of God as well. Thanks be to God. Before I begin the sermon, I want to offer two insights or explanations into the readings for this day. In the reading from Acts, we have these verses. Peter speaks regarding Judas, and then a parenthetical remark: for this man, that is Judas, bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. Now, that seems at first glance to contradict what the other gospels say, the four gospels say about Judas hanging himself. Well, there's an explanation for that, one of which he could have hung himself in the field that he bought, and the rope broke, and he burst open in the middle. But the Greek for falling headlong can be translated and becoming swollen. He burst open in the middle and all his bowels gushed out. So hanging there out in the elements, after he had died by hanging, the body would swell, particularly the midsection. So there's no contradiction there at all. Just wanted to clarify that. And in today's epistle reading from Revelation, we have Jesus saying several times, "Behold, I am coming soon." The "soon" could also be translated "quickly." It's like when Jesus said to Judas at the Last Supper, "What you are going to do, do quickly." So, that adds a little insight into the meaning of the text, particularly this text from Revelation. Do you remember how in the Gospel of John, Jesus compared his coming passion to a woman who was with child and who was giving birth? He said, for the moment during her labor, she weeps, she mourns, she's in great pain. But then, once the child is born, she rejoices because she has brought a man into the world, another human being. What was a very painful, uncomfortable experience for her became an occasion for joy. It's somewhat like that for us Christians, because there are times we do suffer for our faith. We all have troubles in this world. We face illnesses, we face financial loss, we worry about our children, and death comes to us all. We sometimes get kind of stressed out about these things. But nonetheless, God reminds us that joy awaits us, that a joy beyond anything we can imagine has been stored up for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, in this world, he says it plainly, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And in today's reading from the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, the final chapter of the New Testament, the final chapter of the entire Bible, we get a hint of the good things that await us. John begins with a picture image. The angel who has been, if you will, John's guide on the entirety of his vision of the events of the Revelation shows John the river of the water of life. This river is bright as crystal. It's running freshly. It's no stagnant body of water. And it flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the new heavenly Jerusalem. It's inviting just to look at. It is calming. It is beautiful. And on either side of the river is the tree of life. The tree of life, which has been declared off limits since the third chapter of Genesis, way at the beginning of the Bible. But the tree of life is no longer off limits. The tree of life has 12 kinds of fruits, and it yields fruit each month. It yields fruit forever. Now, you can think of this tree in several ways, as a literal tree, much like the trees of which Adam and Eve were permitted to eat in the garden. But for us, in Christ, the cross of Jesus is a tree of life. And on this cross of the tree of life, Jesus overcame the ancient serpent who brought death and madness and desolation into the world through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of which he tempted Adam and Eve to eat. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I think back to some other leaves mentioned early on in Genesis. When Adam and Eve knew they had sinned, they were ashamed before the face of God, and they tried to cover their nakedness with fig leaves. And that didn't work out, so God had to kill an animal to clothe them with the skin of that animal. The leaves of this tree, by contrast, are for the healing of the nations, the healing of all things from which people suffer. Ain't gonna study war no more. No murders. No mournful laments. No sickness, blindness, illness. The power of the devil will be done away with, because no longer will there be anything accursed, because the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in that city, and his servants will worship him. You see, you and I live in a world which is still under the curse of God. And that curse shows up so frequently in automobile accidents, in people losing their homes by fire, in the meth addict curled up in a corner of the alley, craving his next fix. The curse impacts each and every one of us. When you go out to your car in the morning and you see that you have a flat tire, that is the curse operating. You grumble about it, but you fix the tire and you go on your way. But sometimes it's not that easy. The doctor gives you his diagnosis, and you begin a course of treatment, which can take months or years and be very, very difficult. And even at the end of that course of treatment, you may not live very long. But how different things are in what John describes today. Moses is told by God that no one can see his, that is God's, face and live. Earlier in Revelation, the mountains and the seas shrink before the face of God. If you and I were to see Jesus in all of his glory right now, we would not be able to withstand it. We would shrink from it. But here in chapter 22 of Revelation, the curse has been removed, sin has been removed, death has been removed, and the saints who occupy this city will see God's face, and they will not shrink. They will behold the most beautiful thing of all, the most beautiful thing far beyond our imagination, the face of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the name of the triune God will be on their foreheads, marking them as God's own dear, beloved, redeemed people in Christ. Night will be no more. There will be no need of light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God, in the splendor of his holiness, to which we will have become acclimated, will be our light, and we will reign with the Lord God forever and ever. And lest you and I think that this is some figment of our imagination, the angel says to John, these words are trustworthy and true. They can be believed because it is the Holy Spirit of God that has directed the apostles and the prophets to record the word of God in Scripture. These words are trustworthy and true. You may be down. You may be discouraged. You may be depressed. You may be convicted by the Holy Spirit of having broken the law of God. But these words are trustworthy and true, that God gave his Son to die on behalf of sinners. And all who believe in his Son for forgiveness and salvation have eternal life. God is no longer their enemy, but he is their Father, and they are his dear, dear children. Jesus says, behold, which means pay attention, get this, turn your ears on, I am coming soon, or I am coming quickly. When Christ returns, it will be in the twinkling of an eye that the dead are raised up, that this old fallen creation is transformed into something as perfect as the most wondrously beautiful gem in all the world. Again, the curse will have been done away with instantly. We will be raised immortal and glorified. The party will have begun. Christ is coming soon. Now, God is outside time, and it may not be soon by our standards. God may not, probably won't, send his son back to make all things new, just as the race is starting this afternoon. But Christ's return is the next event to happen on the timetable of salvation. Jesus tells us to be watchful, to be ready, not to be asleep, but to ever prepare ourselves for his return, because he will bring his recompense with him to repay everyone for what he has done. Those can be words of judgment. I hope Christ doesn't repay me for everything I have done, because I have done some bad things. But here's the thing, here's the wonder, here's the promise. The one who judges is also our Redeemer, also the one who absolves us and declares us to be forgiven of our sins, the one in whose blood our robes have been washed and made white. And for the Christian, God doesn't see the bad things that we have done. He doesn't see our sin. He sees us as holy and perfect and righteous in his Son. So we will be glorified just as Jesus is glorified. And for those outside of Christ, their works were not accomplished in faith. So no matter how their works have been praised by mankind, no matter how their names have been lifted up as philanthropists, apart from faith, their works have no standing before God at all. In Revelation, the Lord God refers to himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. But here it is Jesus himself saying these words. And this is saying that Jesus is divine, that he is the second person of the Trinity, and that he can accomplish these things and dispense these blessings that Revelation speaks of. And here's what he says of you right now. This is true right now. You are blessed right now. Blessed are those who wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. Because it's only those with white robes washed in the blood of the Lamb who have the right to eat of the tree of life, so that they may enter the city by the gates. Today you eat of the fruit of the tree of the cross. You eat Jesus' body. You could say today you sip of the sap of the tree of the cross as you drink Jesus' blood. Eating and drinking in faith is your guaranteed entry into this holy city, into this new Jerusalem, into this paradise restored. It is your only ticket, the only key that opens the door to the gates of paradise for you. And Jesus himself is that key. The Bible concludes with this message. The Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, and the Bride, that is the Church, say, come. Now, the Church does pray that Jesus will come quickly, but this come is addressed to someone else beside Jesus. Let the one who hears these words say, come. And again, this come is addressed to someone besides Jesus. Who is that someone? The next verse tells us, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Just like the Samaritan woman at the well, whom Jesus told he would give her the water of life and she would never grow thirsty having drunk that water. Just as he said in earlier in John, that he gives the living water. You are described here in this reading, today's reading from Revelation. You have a share by God's grace through faith in Jesus in the tree of life. You are a citizen of this holy city, as is described in this book. And you are those who eagerly await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's soon, whether it's a year from now, 10 years from now, or whether you enter into his presence when you die and pass out of this accursed world into the place where there is no curse, no sorrow, only joy unspeakable, unimaginable, the joy of being with the God who created you and who has redeemed you in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.